Can I have gone?
Yud Gimel Mal Cheshvan, Thursday the 2nd of November, Dr. Sholem Springer, Gevuras Geshomim.
Good morning to you all.
Thank you for the introduction. And Shir today comes from a sefer called Maskil L'Shloima, whose author is Rabbi Shlomo Karlebach. Not the one you think it is. He's not the singer, but not the singer. Okay, but in fact, it is the same family. It's either an uncle or a cousin. And in fact, there is only one Karlebach family. Apparently, they are very large, and many, many of them were big Talmidei Chachomim and Rabbonim. It's just that one of them became the most famous. He too, yes, indeed, so they say that he too was a great learner and very, very close to one of the Gedolei Hador, at the time of Aaron Kotler. So that's actually, I thought I'd say that and get the joke out of the way, so to speak, the laughter out of the way, before we get into some serious stuff. In Bechukosai, where there are brochas, which the Sedra starts with these brochas, the first of them is V'nosati Gishmechem Be'itom, V'nosno Ha'oretz Yibulo. So the first of the brochas is that the Ribbono Shel Olam will give us rain. And I thought, in honor of the fact that we recently have started to say Mashiach Baruch HaMoed HaGoshem, and therefore we can say something about the rain, and there will be a connection to the Sedra. So on the sheet it said it's sort of a Parsha theme. It's not exactly a Parsha theme, but the Sedra will come in somewhere in our talk. So we have Geshomim mentioned as the first of the brochas in Parshas Bechukosai. And not only is it the first, but in fact the Ramban says that it is the most important of the brochas. So the brocha of having rain at the right time, etc., as we say every day in Shema, is terribly important to us. Let's just rewind from Bechukosai and go back to Bereshis. There is a very interesting pasuk in Bereshis, in the story of the creation, etc., and it says as follows. When the plants were just about to emerge, the pasuk says, V'chol siach hasodeh terem yeh ba'oretz. Could be v'chol. V'chol siach hasodeh terem yeh ba'oretz. And before, or the plants had not yet grown, V'chol esev hasodeh terem yitzmach, and the grasses had also not yet grown. And that's what the pasuk says at the beginning. And then it goes on to say, "Ki loy himteh Hashem elokim ala oretz," because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not made it rain, and because there was no rain, therefore there were no plants. But the pasuk goes on to say, "Va'odom ayin," and there was no man, capital letter possibly. Yeah, there was no man, la'avod es ha'adamah, to work the land. Now Rashi, in fact, connects all the parts of the pasukim together. Rashi says, "Umaitam Elohimte." Why didn't it rain? If the plants were meant to grow, then surely the obvious thing is to bring the rain down, yeah, to make them grow. Says Rashi, "Lefi she'odam ayin lavodes odoma." The latter part of the pasuk tells you about the pshat in the first part. So, in other words, the reason why it didn't rain is because v'odam ayin, because there was nobody there lavodes odoma. So you see, there's an interrelationship between the presence of man and what he's got to do, which we'll say in a moment, what he's got to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam, who gives us the greatest benefit of all, which is rain. Yeah, Shabbat Odom. And then, says Rashi, when Odom actually appeared on the scene, V'yoda Shehen Tzorich Lo'olam, and he realized that rain is required for the world. You know, you've got to get it going, crank it all up into action. And he realized that's what Hispale Olam, says Rashi, he davened for rain. So the first time done for rain, possibly the first time that Mashiach Baruch HaMoed HaGoshem was said, was by Adam Arishan. I don't know what his tefillah was. The Yoradu, and the rain came down. But Somchu Ho'ilonos V'Hadashoy. And so the trees grew, and the grasses grew, the vegetation grew, as a result of Adam Arishan's intervention, as a result of Adam Arishan's tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral adds, here I'm in Gur Ari on that Rashi, Maral adds, because we've got the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us good, and the whole purpose of the world is in order that good should be done, either human to human, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu to human beings, good should be done. That's the tachlis of the universe. He says that it's osur to be mated to a person who does not appreciate it. Should not do a favor to a person who is not sentient enough to appreciate that the favor has been done. And it applies to rain very, very particularly, because rain is required for life. And so life should be acknowledged, that the Rav Hashem gives us the rain in order that there should be life. The Maharal is saying that Hakoras HaTov is one of the Asoidas and one of the Ikrei Emuna. Hakoras HaTov is an integral part of our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it obligates the receiver of Toiv to the giver such that the person who receives the Toiv acknowledges it. In other words, what Rashi told us in the first place, which was that the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't make it rain on earth because there was no one to appreciate it, no one to ask for it. And until Adam Rishon came on the scene, it was actually mispalel for the rain. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't give the hatova, didn't give the goodness to the earth, to the universe, because there was no one appreciating it at all. Just to make it rain, Stamazoy, the Beltarain, there's no point. And therefore, he waited until Adam Rishon would daven. And in fact, it's appropriate here to quote the Rambam. The Rambam says, in associated pieces that the Rambam is writing, I'll just read you one little piece for sure. She's boinin odom b'masav abruov haniflo. When a person contemplates the magnificence of the world and its creations, v'yiro mehem koch mosoi she'enem erech v'loi keitz, and he sees the chokma of the Ribbono Shel Olam, how he runs his world, which has limitless parts to it, v'loi keitz, and it doesn't end. Doesn't just stop. Immediately, if a person really thinks about the world that he lives in and relates it to our Kodesh Baruch Hu who gave it to us, immediately there should be a surge of feeling towards our Kodesh Baruch Hu. I want to know more about it. I want to know more about him. He has this enormous yearning to be associated with the to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person contemplates the world, I'm not saying he's telling us all to go out and write, read science, etc., or learn science, but the fact is, that we think about the magnificence of the world, that should engender in us a feeling that we want to know more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave it all to us. V'hakora zu hi ikka tachlis kol, v'bishvila himtzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol metzias kuloi. Says the Rambam, in a one little sentence, that the point about this is, that the hakara of the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the magnificence of science, and anyone who's done any sort of science knows how fantastic it is. It's amazing that we should understand with that hakara that is the whole purpose why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created the world and put everything in place as he has done in order that mankind should have that sort of hakara. So if a person is a kofui toiva, if a person denies toiva, then, so to speak, the Lashon of the Sefer that I've derived most of the shir from, the Ribbono Shel Olam is then wasting his time, in inverted commas. A person who's a kofui toiva is going against the whole purpose of the world, and therefore if somebody who's a kofui toiva doesn't realize the toiva that he's getting, Ribbono Shel Olam has done something which there's no one who appreciated. That's why the Maharal says that we shouldn't do a toiva to a kofui toiva, because the kofui toiva is actually a destroyer, and he's working against the tachlis of the world, and therefore is working against the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in the first place. The other lesson that we can get in studying the Ikrei Emunah is that this demonstration that we want to display in Hakoras HaTov, when we receive a favor, that all creatures must live under a principle. And the principle is Chayk Noson V'lo Yavoy. In other words, we have the laws of nature, etc., and we are all obligated to live under those laws. Chazal have a different expression for it. Chazal call it Olam Kiminhogoi Noyeg. When we have questions in Hashkofa sometimes, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this, why did this happen, that happen, then the answer is very, very often Olam Kiminhogoi Noyeg. That means that the Ribbono Shel Olam created a world which actually has a mechanism to it. It has laws of nature, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu plumbed into the construction of the universe, and that's how the universe runs. We can't ask for changes in the laws of nature other than on special occasions when the Ribbono Shel Olam decides to do a miracle. Then, of course, he steps out of the laws of nature and does something special on those occasions, Kriyas Yamsuf, and all the other miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, we must assume that if we put our hand into the fire, it'll be hot and it'll burn us. Yeah, and if we drop something, it'll fall. We can't demand that we should change the laws of nature, and Chazal call that Olam Kiminhogo Noyek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created a world which has a mechanism to it. And it's immutable, you can't change it, the examples are just brought. It's unchanging. The laws of physics are always the same. Every day a person goes into the laboratory and tests things, he will get the same, he, she will get the same results. Except one thing. Say Chazal, there's one thing that does not seem to have a law. Presumably, in a greater sense, there is a law governing it all, but there's one thing that does not have a predictable law. You can't do a laboratory experiment and decide how much it's going to rain tomorrow, whether it's going to rain. Rain seems to defeat all the practices that we usually use to be able to predict it. Rain has something, and no real formula, although we try very, very hard. Weather forecasts got better in our lifetimes. They're fairly reliable. But in fact, you know, you can ask anyone who lives in New Orleans, for example, about, you know, sudden rainstorms that are so destructive. Or last year in Miami, in Florida, you know, we had these tremendous rains which were not predicted. So rain still, and the storms still defeat us. So we don't know exactly where it's going to rain, when, how much, the intensity, all those details we don't know. We know it vaguely. They look down on satellites nowadays and they find out where it's all going to happen. And, you know, more or less it does, but in fact there's a lot which still defeats our knowledge. So rain seems to not be in this principle quite of Olam Kiminhogo Noyeg. In other words, it's not predictable, and therefore you don't know what's going to happen. And the Malbim, like I said, the Malbim comments in Tehillim, on the Psukim there, HaShemayim Masatrim Kavoyed Kael Umase Yodav Magid Horokia. Pasuk familiar to us. And he says that there are two words being used here. There's Masatrim, and there's also Magid. And there's a difference between Sipur and Magid, says the Malbim. Sipur is used for descriptions of things that are one-off, one happening. Sipur, like Masa Bereishis. But Magid is used for something that can continuously change, something that changes and has a chiddush to it, and it changes over time. We use the word Magid. And we could ask the question about Sipur. But so we've got Sipur on the one hand, and we have a Haggadah on the other hand, so we're using both words there. Sipur is the fact that it's unchanging, the miracles. But Haggadah, we can keep talking about it, keep talking, and keep being mechadish about it. So we've got both of these words used, and it's very much in line with what Malbim has said. So, in the case of rain, of course, this is obvious, the deduction from there, that it rains today, it's dry tomorrow, but we don't know exactly whether we should step out of our house and take our umbrella with us or not, especially in England. That it's still a mystery as to whether we should do that and whether we should cater for the rain, whether it will or not rain.
But so, Masapurin Kvod Kael is every day.
Sorry?
When it says Masapurin Kvod Kael, that's every day.
Masapurin Kvod Kael. Yes, presumably we're talking about those things that the Rabbeinu Shalom has established as permanent in the universe. So Masapurin Kvod Kael, that's right. So what the Malbim says, it refers to things that have been put in on a one-off basis, whereas Magid be used as something more fluid, if I may use that word. Laws of nature are established in the Ma'aseh Bereishis, in the Chumash, until Vayechulu. And following that, there's no more Chiddush. The Rabbeinu Shalom is not inventing bits of the world after that, except, as we've discussed, with the rain, which is unpredictable. But it helps us, and the unpredictability of the rain, and the fact that we see the hand of Rabbeinu Shalom in the different weather systems, it helps us to understand this pasuk, which we say in davening, HaMechadesh V'chol Yoim Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis. We say that the Rabbeinu Shloilom is Mechadesh every day Ma'aseh Bereishis, so he seems to renew that, which actually gets hidden from us. Because we see everything happening under sort of the same laws all the time, we can forget the fact that the Rabbeinu Shloilom is actually recreating the world on a continuous basis. HaMechadesh V'tuvah, you know, we can get very much lulled into a great sense of security that the world is as it is, and it's completely unchanging. When we are impressed, when we appreciate the weather systems, then we can understand HaMechadesh V'tuvah. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still gives us demonstrations of his Kolach HaChiddush by the unpredictability of the rain. So it has an advantage in that we sort of see that part of the Rabbeinu Shloilom, and therefore we can apply it to the pasuk of Ahav Mechadish Betuvoi Chol Yom Tomid Mas Bereishis. Let's go back for a moment to that pasuk that we quoted towards the beginning of the shiur, V'chol siach hasod eterem yeh ba'oretz, that the plants haven't grown yet, and they required the tefillah of Adam Rishon. Now Chazal are darshaning two words here. One is siach, and Chazal darshan the word siach to mean tefillah. And the other word, sodeh, sodeh is to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So we have words there which Chazal are darshaning in a sort of fairly uncommon form. Siach HaSodeh seems to be the plants of the field. Simply that. Yet Chazal say, no, actually, it's talking about Yitzchak, later on. Yitzchak, we use that word Siach again, and Adam Rishon in this particular case. He's davening to HaKadosh. Siach is to speak, and it also means tefillah, and so Chazal are darshaning it that way. And we know that this pasuk applies to Yitzchak as well. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basode. Lasuach basode, say Chazal, lasuach basode, he didn't just go for a walk. He went to daven. That was davening, and Taki Yitzchak was instituted mincha. So Chazal are borrowing from the drosha of Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basode, that it means davening, and applies that to Adam Rishon as well. In the Mokum Kavua, I mentioned Beis HaMikdash, that is the Mokum Kavua. In order that tefillah should be in the Mokum Kavua, therefore, Siach Sodeh is a Mokum Kavua, and therefore Chazal also say that Adam Rishon there made it a sort of kvias, and that makes his tefillah more effective. So, but the question is, why did Chazal feel forced to make those droshes Siach HaSodeh? Why did the Chazal borrow it in order to talk about tefillah? Why can't we just let the pasuk as it was, which is that the plants hadn't grown until it rained? And the fact is that the rain, as we've said, does not come under chayt noson v'lo yavoy. So you need tefillah in order to move things along. So Odom was needed in order to be mespalel, and therefore that's how the process started. And therefore this inculcated him with emunah. You see, without emunah, there's no tefillah. Tefillah depends on our faith in the fact that we believe that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam that can answer the tefillah. If we don't believe that Ribbono Shel Olam is there to answer the tefillah, tefillah has no place. So in other words, what Adam Rishon needed was an injection of emunah, and that was brought about by the fact that he realized he's got to daven, and therefore he was a marmit. And every time we daven, actually it's an exercise in emunah, because we believe that when we daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the tefillah will be answered. Well, without emunah, we could not have that faith in our tefillah, that the tefillah would be answered. So, just to recap where we've got to so far, is that Adam realized the necessity of rain, that it is for life, and that Hakoras HaToiv is built into this, and Emunah is built into this, and the Kviyas Mokum in Tefillah, that the Chazal tell us that if we are Kaveya Mokum in Tefillah, the Tefillah is more effective, and that's what we should do, a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he realized the Toiva of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's move on. Chazal tell us in a Medrash that Koshi Gevuras Keshomim, She Shekula Keneged Kol Masa Bereishis. Chazal are equating Gevuras Keshomim, the fact that it rains in all our discussion hitherto in this year, that the implication is that there's hischadshus. Just as there is hischadshus in relation to Briyas HaOlam, if Chazal tell us there is an equivalence between rainfall and Briyas HaOlam, that means rain has in it the concept of hischadshus. So there is an element of Masa Bereishis every time it rains. The Ribbono Shel Olam is redoing a little bit of Masa Bereishis every time it rains. The other thing, the other connection is between rain and something else is Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim also, now that's fairly obvious because Tchias HaMesim, obviously Mesim is the opposite of life and death. And therefore the Hischadshus in the Bria draws on this type of chesed that the Ribbono Shel Olam will do when he performs Tchias HaMesim. Now, why Chazal placed the tefillah of Mashiach HaRuach and Moir HaGoshem in the particular place that they did, we'll notice that they placed it in the brocha which ends off with Tchias HaMesim, Mechaya HaMesim. That's where Mashiach HaRuach is. That brocha is called Gevurois. Our shir is called Gevuras Keshomim. So in Gevurois, when the Ribbono Shel Olam shows his might, Kela, Giba, Anoira, etc., when the Ribbono Shel Olam shows his Gevurah, and we've talked about Gevuras Keshomim, Losh and Chazal, we have those three things encapsulated in that second bracha in Shemoneh Esther, which is Gevurois, that is the name of the bracha. We've got Mashiv Ruach and Moed HaGoshem in there, that we are davening for rain. And we've got Mechaya HaMesim, because Mechaya HaMesim is also going to be a demonstration of the Rabbein Shem Hischadshes and the injection of life, the antithesis of Misa. The Gemara in Tanna says the following, Shlosho Maftechois B'yodoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rabbein Shalom retains three keys in his hands. Shalom Nimsur B'yad HaShliach. He's not given them over, these three keys, to any shliach, to anybody else. And these are Mafteach Shel Keshomim. The Rabbein Shalom retains the right to regulate the weather and give it to us as he pleases. He hasn't given it over to any shliach. Then there's another one, Chayim. Life. The Rabbein Shalom is in charge of all life. And the third one is Tchiyas HaMesim. When Tchiyas HaMesim is due, it is the Rabbein Shalom himself that will operate and create Tchiyas HaMesim, create life from death. Now, the two things that we mentioned, which was Chayim and Tchiyas HaMesim, are, so to speak, Yesh Me'ayin. They are categories which you could say Yesh Me'ayin. Life, when life is created, it's a Yesh Me'ayin. And of course, the transformation of someone who's dead into someone who's alive, that certainly is Yesh Me'ayin. And so similarly, since there are three keys that are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he retains those three, we are making equivalence between those three keys, and that means Keshomim also is similarly fundamental like that, and it's a sort of Yesh Me'ayin. So the Rabbi Shalom creates his conditions on earth, which are Yesh Me'ayin, in the same sense as we talked about before, which is that there is an element of Bria Se'olam in the whole idea of rain, and when the rain comes, and all the conditions under which we get it. So, Gevurah, as we know, just taking that word, is the Midah of Yitzchok. Yeah, Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchok is Gevurah, and so on. We have a list of seven. That's the Midah of Yitzchok, and we have that connotation of Tchiyas HaMesim in the story of Yitzchok. Very interestingly, connection with this parasha is that we have the story of the Akedah. Everybody knows it, and what I'd like to do is just read a little piece out of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer tells us the following sort of sub-story, subtext of the story of the Akedah. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kiven shehegia cherev al tzavoroi. At the moment that Avram's knife reached Yitzchok's neck, parcha v'yotzo nishmosoi shel Yitzchok, the neshama of Yitzchok flew out of him. In other words, Yitzchok died at that moment, not by the hand of Avraham, but he died for reasons that we are unaware of. He died at that parcha nishmosoi. There are some very nice medrashim on this, by the way. Kiven sheshmiya koiloi, since he heard the voice that Mavin Shnei Kruvim, that emanated from the Kruvim, this was the spot where it was going to be the Beis Midrash later, V'omar, al tishlach yodcho el hanar, telling Avraham Avinu not to harm Yitzchok, and Chosro hanefesh legufoi, his neshama came back into his body. V'etiru, and then he was untied, V'omad al raglov, and he stood up on his feet, V'yoda Yitzchok tchias hamesim min ha-Torah. And Yitzchok was then became aware of the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim. And that's why you have Tchiyas HaMesim in the Torah buried, so to speak, in this story, that Yitzchok actually died during the Akedah, and he then came alive again, and he was revived, and he knew Tchiyas HaMesim, Shikol HaMesim Asidim Lachios, that in the future, there will be a future time, in the future, that all the Mesim will, as it says in the old Siddurim, quicken the dead. Yeah, the Rabbein Shalom will quicken the dead, which means that we will experience Tchiyas HaMesim. V'ayisa shor, posach v'oma, baruch ata Hashem, mechaya HaMesim. So Yitzchok said this bracha of mechaya HaMesim. So we actually have here in the Sedra the concept of the Tchiyas HaMesim, and we have it with the story of Yitzchok. Yitzchok has the Midah of Gevurah. We've used Gevurah in relation to Gevurah's Geshomim, and so all of these concepts tie very nicely together. And of course, this idea of Tchiyas HaMesim goes absolutely against Olam Min HaGanoyim. Obviously, that's the antithesis of Olam Kamino. There's nothing that defies Teva more than the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim. So we have Atah Gevurah, the Brach of Shemoneh Esrei, which we talk about Gevurah of Ribono Shel Olam. We have Tchiyas HaMesim in that bracha, we have Mashiv HaRuach in that bracha, and that I think really clearly makes the point. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says the following. that there is an explains an argument in the Tanakh between Achav and Eliyahu. It's not an argument, it's a discussion. And the discussion, it takes place when Eliyahu HaNavi and Achav, the Rosha, meet up in order to pay a shiva visit to somebody called Chiel. Now, who is this Chiel? Chiel was a person who tried to rebuild Yericho. And during that period of time, because there was a klola on Yericho that Yehoshua made, that you're not allowed to build up Yericho, all Chiel's sons died. And it's a very nice discussion. The Bali Ashkofa and the Bali Mashova talk about this particular man. How could he have gone on and on and on as one after the other of his sons died? But he carried on till the end, until the last son. And they're going to visit him after the last of his sons had died. And he had just hung the gates on the city walls, and that's when his last son, and he didn't understand that there was a connection between the curse of Yehoshua and the rebuilding of Yericho. Anyway, so Achav and Eliyahu HaNavi meet up together, and they are proceeding towards this shiva, yeah, what's going on there, to visit Chiel. And they're having a discussion. And Achav leers at Eliyahu and says the following. Very interesting. Now, as you know, the kingdom of Achav and Jezebel was a very successful kingdom. They won all their wars, and they were wealthy, and they were prosperous. And Achav says to Eliyahu HaNavi, I've got a question for you. He says, isn't it funny that the klola of the Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'otzas ha-shamayim v'lo yemoto, which is given in relation lo yisasurach levavchem, it's said that if we worship Avodah Zorah, we will have no rain. Look at me. I'm running a country where we've got Avodah Zorahs on every single corner. Yeah, you can't move for stumbling over an Avodah Zorah. We worship Avodah Zorah big time. And nevertheless, we've got rain in abundance. It's going well for us. It's wonderful. So the klola of the Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, that doesn't seem to have worked. But the klola of the Talmud, Yehoshua, that seems to have worked. Look at Chiel. Yeah, we're just about to pay Moshe a visit. And his klola about Yericho seems to have worked. How are you talking? How can that possibly happen? To which made Eliyahu so angry that Rabbeinu Shloim at that point gave him the Mafteach of Geshomim. And what followed was 3 years from that moment onwards of no rain in the land, but Otzas HaShemayim, it all dried up, there was famine in the land, it was terrible. Until, what happened? What was the conclusion of this story? What's the crescendo of this story? The crescendo is the story of Harakama, where there was a competition between the priests of Baal and Eliyahu HaNavi, and the fire came down. And what was at the result of that? They saw the falsity of the idol worship of Baal, and they realized the gevura of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they all said, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, the possum which we borrow on there, Motzi Yom Kippur, Hashem Elokim, and they realized, and that transformed them. What was it that transformed them? 3 years of having no rain, you know, is a very, very stark and harsh lesson. So once again, we have the rain coming into play here, which converted, which transformed the whole of Klal Yisrael between being idol worshippers on the one hand and being adherents and loyal to the Rabbeinu Shlomo on the other. So we have a very sort of stark example of that. Almost finished, but not quite. So we have the justice of the rain and the correction thereof. So therefore what we have in particular shir, the idea of tefillah, and tefillah is so important. I just want to add one thing that applies to this week's Seder, because we're talking about the idea of tefillah in relation to Geshomim. We have another tefillah in this week's Seder, which takes place between Avram and the Ribbono Shel Olam when Avram tries to rescue Sodom. Yeah? And there's a whole vikuah, what about 50, what about 40, etc. The whole parasha about Avram trying to rescue Sodom. Now, what we had previously in the Seder was that three malachim visited Avram. One of them told him about Sodom. Hamachase ani me'Avram. Should I keep a secret from Avram? Avinu says Avram Shalom. So he tells him. But the kasha is, why did the Rabbeinu Shalom tell Avram Avinu about Sodom? Why? You know, the Rabbeinu Shalom does 50 billion things before breakfast. He doesn't tell everything to Avram Avinu. Why did he tell this particular fact to Avram Avinu? And the teretz is, given very, very often in relation to other things as well, that the Rabbeinu Shalom mizaveh, the Rabbeinu Shalom would like the tfilas shal tzadikim. He wants the tfilas. That's the point. So he tells Avraham Avinu, knows who he's dealing with. Avraham Avinu won't just take it lying down. He'll start davening. And what a davening he'll put into force here. And the Rabbeinu Shalom wants that sort of tfilas. There's some element here which isn't quite fair. It's not quite fair, because the Rabbeinu Shalom gets his tfilas and then carries on in destroying Sodom. The tfilas doesn't work. So it's not really quite fake. Goads Avraham Avinu into Dani by telling him about Sodom, and nevertheless doesn't listen to a single word of it and carries on destroying Sodom. So what's the pshat? And the pshat is, I heard from an Onam God, and I think that helps us all. You know, sometimes we put in enormous efforts into tefillah, sometimes we put in efforts into all sorts of things, and it doesn't seem to work. You should know that in Ruchnius, nothing ever goes to waste. So Rabbi Yishon wanted the tefillah, takah. It's a tefillah like no other. Avraham Avinu would put all his energies into it, true. And then the Rabbi Shalom will take that tefillah and put it in the deep freeze. Put it in the place where he keeps it for another time. Perhaps for Klal Yisrael, later on in our history, we needed that tefillah in which we'll take that tefillah out. Nothing in Ruchnius ever goes to waste. And I think this is true for all our efforts when we're trying to do Ruchnius little things, which often they seem not to work. We should know that nothing ever is not working. It's working, not maybe the way we wanted it to work. It'll work in another way. And v'heyeh l'bracha.